Welcome to the Creative Biolabs Science Channel. At Creative Biolabs, we specialize in providing customized viral research services and a vast array of viral antibodies to researchers. Tune into our podcast series for intriguing insights into the world of viruses, and make sure to subscribe to stay updated with our latest episodes.
Good evening, dear friends. Thank you for tuning into the Creative Biolabs podcast series. Tonight, we're thrilled to have Professor Williams with us. Professor, we're eager to hear the exciting insights you'll share tonight. What do you have for us?
I'm delighted, too. Last time we touched on the origins of viruses, and today, we'll delve deeper into how viruses and cells have co-evolved over time.
That sounds fascinating, especially since the relationship between viruses and cells dates back to the dawn of evolution. The origin of viruses still sparks much debate. Professor, how should we approach understanding this complex relationship?
Indeed, it's a complex area. Recent research focusing on the structural similarities between viral and cellular proteins has shed new light on evolution. We've previously discussed how the high mutation rates in viral genomes complicate our understanding based on RNA and DNA sequences alone. These mutations can alter the amino acids in viral proteins, making direct comparisons challenging. Interestingly, the tertiary structure of proteins, which is crucial for their function, tends to be more conserved than their amino acid sequences, providing a more reliable basis for evolutionary comparisons.
That's intriguing. Why do scientists focus on studying evolution through these protein structural domains?
The conservation of protein structural domains offers a clearer view of evolutionary history than amino acid sequences. Domains are conserved across vast evolutionary timescales, allowing us to trace back relationships that are obscured in sequence data. Over the past decade, accumulating data on protein structures from various organisms has significantly enhanced our understanding of these evolutionary relationships.
Speaking of which, are there recent studies that support the idea of viruses and cells evolving together?
Yes, a significant study from 2015 analyzed protein structural domains across a wide array of organisms. The researchers looked at the complete proteomes from 5,080 organisms, identifying 1,995 conserved structural domain architectures, which they categorized into what are known as fold superfamilies. Out of these, 650 superfamilies were common between viruses and cellular life. More impressively, 442 of these superfamilies were present in viruses and all three domains of cellular life: archaea, prokaryotes, and eukaryotes. This strongly suggests that viruses share a significant portion of their protein structures with cellular life, reinforcing the notion of their ancient origins, which possibly predate the divergence of life into these three modern lineages.
With this new research supporting the virus regression hypothesis, does that mean the virus-first hypothesis lacks support?
Not necessarily. The same study brought to light other fascinating discoveries. For example, it suggested that the earliest viral ancestors might have had segmented single-stranded RNA genomes. This supports the widely held belief among biologists that RNA was the original genetic material. These findings lend credibility to the virus-first hypothesis, proposing that some viral lineages may have appeared before the last universal cellular ancestor. It seems there were numerous ancient life forms that were competing, interacting, and sharing genes, which could explain the significant overlap between viral and cellular fold superfamilies we see today. However, these findings from the fold superfamily study provide support for both hypotheses and do not conclusively resolve the debate about the origins of viruses.
Interesting. If the fold superfamilies identified in viral proteins only account for a small part of the total viral proteins, what about the other viral proteins?
The majority of viral proteins don't belong to the known fold superfamilies and show no apparent homology with any cellular proteins. This underlines the distinct evolutionary path viruses have taken, with many viral proteins originating from ancestral forms not found in the last universal cellular ancestor, and thus not shared with cellular life. This data supports the notion that viruses constitute a unique evolutionary lineage, separate from the other three domains of life. Due to their unique characteristics, viruses might even be considered a fourth type of life form that emerged, evolved independently, and began parasitizing the other three domains. These unique functions likely evolved after viruses became a distinct lineage and conferred advantages in terms of invasion and reproduction, eventually evolving into the diverse pathogenic molecules we see in viruses today. With the discovery and analysis of new viruses and their proteins, we're gaining more insights into the distant past, which might one day provide deeper understanding into the origins of life.
Considering how viruses and their hosts evolve, can we explore the connections between viruses and other life forms through these relationships?
Absolutely. By examining similarities among viruses infecting different hosts like plants, animals, and bacteria, we can construct evolutionary trees that illustrate how and when viruses appeared in these species. While there are still gaps and uncertainties, a coherent picture of viral evolution is gradually emerging. The diverse nature of modern RNA and DNA virus families is well supported by genetic and protein structure analyses, indicating that today's viral lineages are the result of different, independent evolutionary events over the course of history. These studies also show that viral evolution often parallels that of the host, and interestingly, viruses are capable of jumping to new host species more frequently than we previously understood. This capability and the conservation of certain viral characteristics across different hosts strongly confirm the ancient origins of many modern viruses.
From your introduction, it seems that the relationship between viruses and cells goes back to the very beginnings of life, yet the common viruses that harm us today are relatively new invaders of humans. Can we trace their lineage back to our early human ancestors, or even further?
Although our understanding of the origins of viruses and their cellular hosts is still limited by the available data and the mist of time, we've made significant progress in understanding the more recent evolutionary relationships between viruses and their hosts. Historical records indicate that viruses like poliomyelitis, smallpox, and measles have been with humans for thousands of years. Molecular studies are now pushing this timeline even further back, offering a glimpse into how viruses co-evolved with the plant and animal kingdoms, including detailed studies on primates and early humans.
In our daily lives, papillomaviruses are ubiquitous human pathogens. How have they co-evolved with other life forms?
Papillomaviruses are small double-stranded DNA viruses that presumably infect all vertebrate species, having originated around the time vertebrates first appeared, about 530 million years ago. It's believed that these viruses may have first emerged in fish and then, during the Mesozoic era, approximately 180 million years ago, spread to higher vertebrates like reptiles, birds, and mammals. As mammals diversified around 120 million years ago, papillomaviruses spread to all branches, including our primate ancestors, making these viruses deeply ingrained in the human lineage.
What is the evolutionary relationship between papillomaviruses and primate ancestors and early humans?
Primate papillomaviruses began to diversify around 40 million years ago, branching out from primates to various species, including ancient early humans. Most modern human papillomavirus lineages were established between 6 to 8 million years ago, around the time early humans diverged from chimpanzees. These viruses have co-evolved with humans throughout this time. Over millions of years, HPV types have continued to evolve, and now there's enough variation in some types to define sublineages. This differentiation is also ancient, occurring between 500,000 to 600,000 years ago, before the initial out-of-Africa migration, and before Homo sapiens branched off from other now extinct early humans.
Papillomaviruses have a long coevolutionary history with humans, with connections dating back to the beginning of primitive human evolution. What specific impact do they have on humans?
Today, HPV has diversified into over 200 subtypes, each adapted to a very specific ecological niche in the skin. For instance, some types are confined to the soles of the feet, while others predominantly infect mucosal surfaces. Transmission of these viruses typically occurs through skin-to-skin contact, including sexual activity. Although most people are exposed to these viruses at some point in their lives, the majority of infections are asymptomatic, allowing the virus to persist in the skin without causing noticeable effects. Symptomatic infections usually present as warts, benign tumors that arise due to the virus-triggered excessive proliferation of skin cells. Alarmingly, a small subset of these HPV types possesses carcinogenic potential and is significantly associated with cancers such as cervical, anal, and certain types of oral cancer. Importantly, the development of cancer is an unintentional byproduct of infection, rather than a requirement or benefit for the virus's life cycle.
The example of HPV illustrates that some human viruses have origins that predate humans, whereas other human viruses have not shared such a lengthy coevolution. How does the impact of these two types of viruses on humans differ?
Indeed, that's an insightful observation. The ancient relationship between HPV and humans has resulted in infections that are typically benign, promoting long-term coexistence and facilitating transmission within the human population. In contrast, many human viruses have been acquired more recently from animal hosts and tend to be more pathogenic. This higher degree of pathogenicity can be attributed to a lack of coevolutionary adaptation between these new viruses and their human hosts, which often results in more aggressive disease manifestations.
The study of virus cell coevolution not only enriches our understanding of evolutionary biology, but also offers novel perspectives for the development of treatments for viral diseases. Researching this dynamic is evidently crucial. Thank you, Professor Williams, for your insights today. And thanks to everyone for tuning in. Join us next week as we continue our exploration of viral diseases. See you in the next episode.